Welcome, Emily Yaukis. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Alana. Nice to meet you. It's Yaukis.
Oh, no. Yaukis. Oh, boy. Yep. Now, what ethnicity is that? Because, yes, you know, whites are an ethnicity. Swedish, Russian, German. So where do your people come from? I know it's bad to ask that nowadays, huh?
No, let's do it. Yaukis is actually Lithuanian. So they're all over there. They have I-S-A-S last names. And the one half of me is about 40% Polish and then a little bit of Swedish and a little bit of Lithuanian. Oh, and nice. Then the other half is 100% Piedmontese, which is the part of Italy in the Alps, like bordering Switzerland.
Nice.
So up in the mountains, yeah, specifically the town Ivrea. So
now, have you done any traveling and gone to these places?
No, not yet. I've only been to Canada.
Yeah, so see, sheltered. You got to get over there. You got to do a Mecca trip to go to the land of the ancestors, right?
I do, yeah, yeah. I mean, I hope I go there and it's not just all Muslims and non-Italians and stuff. I'll be very upset.
But I know.
I got to go. I think the north is a little bit less corrupted because, you know, they don't like to climb.
It's true. The mountains, you know, a lot of invaders, they don't want to go to the mountains in those cooler areas either. Mm-hmm. Now, you grew up in Philadelphia, so what was that like?
Well, actually, I grew up in Harrisburg, PA, so that's the capital. I moved to Philly in 2008 for school, and Harrisburg is a pretty based area. I mean, it's a lot of bumfuck towns in PA, so the only real place in PA that's paused is Philly. It's like the basin, everything, all the shit just like collects down there. But the rest of PA is like good old bumfuck towns, good old American fields and good people, you know, white Republicans. Actually, the other side, I came from kind of the diverse part of Harrisburg, a little bit around the city. But the West Shore, you know, we got the Klan, we got meth, we got it all over there. They call it Pennsyltucky.
But do you have the rolling meth labs? That's what I want to know.
Probably.
Now, you also have Amish out there too, right?
So yes, we do. Yeah, we have the highest population of Amish and lot lizards, and that's our boasting.
Now, the Amish, they just stay out of the system entirely, right? They're not going to be voting or any of that. They don't even use electricity.
I heard there was like the Amish for Trump thing, so I think, but who knows, you know, when shit goes down, I think maybe I'll just go to the Amish and be like, hey, can I live in like a cuck shed out back and like eat your food.
Well, it's true. They're going to know how to survive. A lot of city rats, they can't even grow a garden. They can't hunt. They can't do anything. They would be dead in like a week once the grocery stores were cleaned out. You know, they'd be eating each other at that point.
Yeah, yeah. So at least I know that like if the race war breaks out after the election, I can just go to Harrisburg and hide out over there for a little bit.
Now, let's talk about the rampant black-on-white violence, and there's black-on-black violence, right? What do you know about that living up in Philly?
Oh, well, I went to Temple, and I know you guys are documenting Temple. And, there was the flash mobs. I know kids who just got punched off a bike. By a kid. I know I had a friend that got curb stomped in 2008, going to the liquor store, and a group of black kids threw him down and curb stomped him. I've had friends get bricks thrown at them out of windows. And the thing is at Temple is they tell you, this is all your fault. You deserve this. You invaded, and this is your fault. And I admit I was brainwashed back then. And I mean, too brave back in the day in 2008 when I went to school. I would go on these hood walks because I thought that the hood was funny. And I mean, you would get to the point where you could feel the energy just change. Everything would drop. And you'd know, you're like, uh-oh, I'm in spook town. And luckily nothing happened to me, but I saw some real freaky shit. I went somewhat deep. And, but yeah.
Yikes. Stay out of there. Now, what led you down the path to the dark side, I guess, known as the right side?
Yeah, the right side.
Yeah.
Let's start when I was a kid, because growing up in Harrisburg, I still grew up in a very diverse area. Mm-hmm. And I, from like a very young age, like 10, 11, 12, I think started 11. I hated myself for being white. I like felt this deep sense of shame and guilt, and I just hated it. And you know, I would be like taunted by like some of the black kids in school. They'd be like, white girl,
jeez.
And be like, look at that little black girl, she can't talk, you know, because like I was hated by all the kids, like all ethnicities. I was an outcast, you know. I was very shy, little runty kind of a girl, I was ostracized by everyone. But you know, I was always taunted for being white, and I was like, oh, of course, my fault. And you know, I had this deep longing for my own sort of for my own culture and for my own roots. And of course, I was taught that I didn't have any, and all I had was the Jew constructed media culture. Mm-hmm. So they were like, they're like, oh, boy, you don't have one here. Take ours, you know. Yeah. So
Big Macs and movies.
Yeah, rap. Woo. yeah. So I like so. Yeah, from a young age, I was the Jews got me good. I was self-hating and had a big deep hole in myself for not having any like real roots, right? So. We'll flash forward a couple of years to in high school, when I was about 16 or 17, I suddenly became obsessed with World War II. And I don't really remember what exactly it was that started me obsessing. But I would just go to the library, and this was back when we had dial-up internet. We couldn't, like, it took, like, hours to upload a YouTube video. Yeah. So I couldn't get any real sources. So I went to the library. I just got a whole bunch of books on communism and the Bolshevik Revolution and a whole bunch of books on Hitler and stuff. And, you know, this is the public library. It's all going to be kosher. So there wasn't anything, you know, all the books were...
None of the good stuff.
Right. Yeah. There wasn't any questioning going on. But I did enough research, and I soon came to the conclusion that communism was retarded. And
yes.
It was just a lofty fantasy ideal, and it was never going to happen. And it's funny because I didn't take it seriously. I was like, okay, guys, keep sneaking your pamphlets into the literature. Good luck. Workers of the World Unite. Okay. Good luck there, guys. And then I did come to the conclusion that all the commies were Jews. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was pretty obvious. But at the time, I didn't actually make anything of it. I'm like, oh, Jews just love communism. It's
just a coincidence.
It's just a coincidence, Goy. And you know, I was like obsessed with Leon Trotsky. He was one of the people I was obsessed with. And let me get this straight. I was never a Marxist. I always made fun of communism, but I thought Trotsky was just a hilarious little figure, and I would always like draw him, and I animated this clip called Trotsky the Hippie, where he was like thrusting around, and I would call him like Mr. Troppy Woppy Kike and stuff like that. Yeah, I thought he was a little bit cute. Ooh,
yeah, I heard you say that. I heard you say that in one of your
collections. Yeah, but I was 16, guys. Give me a break. And I would like make skits, like Hitler skits, where like two Adolfs would run through the Edelweiss and be like, hoo, 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 and like snatch up Stalin and do awful things to him and stuff. And it was about that time when Alfred Alfred developed his ultra-fasci, ultra-personality dictator Alfred. And that's the one I showed you, the rise of Alfred. That
we have a little clip right there. Let's play one of your little favorite parts of that one.
Yeah. Right.
So burning the bagels and doing
McDonald's guys that were doing the little Jew dance there, and then he goes and shoots Ronald himself. Now I wish it was the opposite, because if Alfred was on the side of McDonald's, he could have worked with Moon Man. But maybe we'll change that around. So anyway, so I was obsessed with Hitler, Stalin. I got Mein Kampf out of the library, and I'd be in the back of the classroom reading it. And, you know, the kids already hated me, and I had no friends. And aww. So
hate you? Doesn't make sense.
I don't know.
All the cool people are hated, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, like, this isn't anything new. I'm very used to being hated. I'm widely loathed. But yeah, I still never made the connection. No Holocaust questioning at all. I was like, of course, yeah, Hitler was a madman. I mean, he was cool. I admired the way he spoke, and I loved the parades, and I loved the fasci aesthetic, but I never questioned it at all. Then I went to college and I just completely forgot about politics, and the cultural Marxism was shoved into my brain,
of course,
and the white guilt just blew up 10 times worse. I thought I had it bad before, and it was 10 times worse. And, you know, smack dab in the middle of the hood, they just said, look what you did, Whitey. Look at, this is all your fault.
Yeah.
You deserve
They're only
the violence.
Poor and killing each other because of you, little girl, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Because your skin color did it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how did you break out of that?
About 6 years later, I would say this year, at the beginning of the year, at the end of last year, something clicked, and I don't know what it was, but I started going into like conspiracy stuff, and I just started obsessing and watching all this conspiracy stuff, and eventually I learned that some of it was kind of true, and I just started doing all this research, and eventually I found poll, politically incorrect board, in January of this year. And that's when I started working on my new tune, The Ascent of Alfred. And I started learning After Effects just for that. And that pretty much sealed the deal right there. That was the great start, the great descent.
It's amazing how quick it can happen once you're exposed to a few of these ideas. It's like it sets you free. You know, it actually opens your mind. Liberals think that they're all open-minded, and they're not. They're closed-minded. It's actually our side that actually has the open mind and the liberating experience to offer people now, you know?
I know. It's amazing. And it is amazing how quick it can come and just like out of nowhere. And so I was just on pole and I was obsessed with it, animating every day. And I guess about 2 months in, I came to the conclusion it's the Jews. Mm-hmm. And but at the time, I called them Zionists. And I was more like, well, don't worry. It's not all the Jews. It's just the Zionists. And I was like into David Icke and stuff.
I remember him. Yeah, we've had him on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Henrik did years ago. So
great.
We've been down that road, too. We know.
I know
well.
You have. I know that's how you guys kind of started with the conspiracy stuff, too. Yeah. So, and then as the year went on, I was on the fence about Trump until April. And then it suddenly clicked. And I'm like, yes, he is the savior of mankind. And then I started talking about it on Facebook right away, and I was like going to my first Trump rally, bitches, and then let the influx start, because that was the very first time I had been public with my politics. And I went to art school, and I had a lot of all liberal friends on Facebook pretty much, and it was, I just got ransacked, but you know, I was just like, you know, I took care of it. I don't battle people on Facebook anymore. I don't have time for that. But at the beginning it was fun though. So as time went on, I was like really stuck in the alt-light phase. And I was like,
Milo.
I was like, yep, the Milo and the I don't know, Breitbart, Christina Sommers, and
Rebel.
Rebel Media. Like Lauren Southern, and I was like, well, like e-celebs, this is I always wanted to get to the epicenter of the alt-right. And for a little bit, I thought that was it, but something didn't seem right. It didn't seem like it was really the center, but for a while I was still stuck there. And, I met Mike Cernovich at the DNC, and I love Mikey. Mike Cernovich, dangerous in play.
he does some good things.
Dangerously. Yeah. I like Mikey. So I met him at the DNC, and he had me go up and did you see where I went up and fucked with Nick Denton at the Docker fair?
No, I didn't see that one. Darn, I wish I had that clip.
Oh shit. Yeah, I'll send you that too. But I went up to, he sent me on assignment to New York to go to the Gawker farewell party because he loved my antics at the DNC. And I went up there and periscoped, and I saw Nick Denton. He came up for a cigarette, and I went over and I was trying to hide the camera. I wanted to like make nice with them and have like a little real interview, but he caught my drift very quickly. And I was like, when he saw the camera, and I was like, can I just ask you one little question, Nikki? And he was like, sure. And I was like, how hard did the Hulk Hogan video get you, man? And his face just like dropped, and I was like, cause I thought it was hot. And then he just flicked his cigarette and ran inside. So that was on tape, and it got in like the New York Mag and shit like that. But, Nice. Yeah, and then so in that period, I like kind of forgot about the Jews and I was more focused on Islam. I was just like, I was in a Sharia spiral and all I could think about was the impending Sharia law. And of course, that's a threat, but you know, the ones behind that, we wouldn't have this problem. We wouldn't have the open borders going on if it wasn't for the Jewish people.
Yeah, I hate when you have to choose a side. At this point, we just want any of these invaders out or people that are tribally working against us out of the way. So I know I always hate that. Choose a side. And I refuse to do that. I want to take my own side, damn it, right? Take my own people's side.
That's right. That's right. So the thing that made me, I did the first Gavin interview, You saw that one?
I saw it.
Yeah, so that was when I was still, you know, pretty alt-like, pretty safe. I was just, you know, shilling my cartoons, kissing his ass. I thought Gavin was cool then. And what made me go the leap into full fash was about 2 or 3 weeks after that, NBC told Mike Cernovich to send him people who they wanted to do a story on the alt-right. And I emailed this lady, and I was saying stuff. Like, I did say stuff about, like, white nationalism and, Germany's for the Germans, Britain is for the British and stuff like that, and whites are being replaced. But I also didn't have, like, the full grasp, and I was saying, like, oh, yeah, preserving, like, the Constitution, this is one, which, you know, we want to do, but it's not, like, one of the big pillars.
Yes.
And I still said Western. I said we need to preserve Western
instead of European civilization, European culture. That's right.
Yeah, I was still kind of on that shtick. So after that, I was like, okay. So they might have do a camera interview. So I was like, okay, I got to get this right. So I got to find the epicenter. So I did, and then I actually came upon your video where your critique of Milo's definition of the alt-right on that show where he was like, oh yeah, you know, gay people is cool. It's, cool.
Exactly.
It's totally not a white movement. Oh, it's totally,
it's not about white identity at all.
Not at all. It's about sucking black dick and there's really nothing. Blah, blah, blah. So when I saw you critique it and you're like, this is a white movement, I like felt this like shock all over me. And I'm like, wow, I got it wrong. For so long, I didn't realize this was what it was about.
Did the lightning bolt hit you and you say, yes, oh, you know, angels are singing.
And then I was like embarrassed because I was like, oh no, I didn't like, I was emphasizing Western shit over that NBC interview. Oh no, I don't want to betray the movement. So, but that story never ended up going through. So if it did go through, I would have gone on camera and I would go full fash on NBC. But I don't think that's going to happen. But then I found your guys' stuff, and that was like the first big real leap. And from there, I found TRS Radio. I got on the Discord first because I went to Discord, and I started out on the R the Donald Discord, and then I went to the Poll Discord. In 2 weeks, I was on the Stormfront one.
Mm-hmm,
so
yeah.
I was like, "Ooh, I found it! I found the center. Here it is." So I was on the TRS Discord for a while. Really nice guys, and then they sent me up with a forum account, and I started reading the Daily Stormer, and I think that's when I made the final leap. And by that point, I knew Gavin was going to have me on again, and I knew that when he did, I could have just shilled my cartoon, kissed his ass, avoided the real thing. But I was like, no, I know what I must do.
That was good. It seemed like he was caught off guard. Like he didn't expect some of that to come up there.
Exactly. Cause the first one I did, I was totally alt light. I hadn't made that transition. And, he had no idea that I was going to onslaught him like that. It was like pretty perfect. The timing of my research was pretty fucking perfect. Because if I would have gone on first and then just went full fast right off the bat, he wouldn't have, probably wouldn't have asked me back. And he probably would have just said, oh, this is just, a troll, a 1488er or something. But he got to know me, got to like me. The whole Proud Boys became obsessed with me. And after that, there like was this huge cataclysm after the second interview in the Proud Boys group where there I saw some shots. There's like a 500 plus reply thread about the interview. And it's like was 60-40, like 60%. It seemed actually agreed with me and were defending the 14 words, which is crazy because they were, you know, they're known as kind of being like, we're all just about Western civilization. Yeah. Yoo-hoo-roo. Yeah.
And identity Yoo-hoo-roo. Politics are a bad thing, right?
Yeah.
Except
yeah.
for, you know, Jews in Israel, they can have it, but everyone else, it's a bad thing.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah.
Well, I want to play a clip you filmed on the streets of Philly during the DNC and just so many morons. Let's cue it up and let's see what kind of people are voting left, people that you ran into.
Yeah.
Bernie beats Trump! Bernie
Trump!
Beats
Trump! 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 Trump!
Fuck
yeah,
Trump.
Fuck Hillary.
Trump. Fuck all the candidates. This isn't about a candidate. This is about us as American people. Vote for the Green Party.
A vote for the Green Party is a vote for the toilet.
Or a vote for Trump.
My brother.
God is a giver of righteousness.
Why do you want this guy to show him your butt?
Yeah, it's just skin. This fear is ridiculous.
You think everyone should be, have their asses out all the time?
I think everybody should show their butt and their belly button.
What about the children?
Says the ugly guy.
You want the kids to see naked genitals?
They can handle it. They have that too.
I don't think so, man. Like, how is Trump a Nazi? Can I get an example?
Examples?
Yes, an example.
Mexicans haven't even put them on.
Illegal! Illegal! Do you want open borders?
Yep.
You want everyone to just run in here.
She's a Donald Trump hooligan. She wants to start shit. You hear that?
No, I don't want to start shit. I want to watch the shit.
Fascist, bro.
You called me the fascist.
Hey, her dad probably bought her first gun at like 8 years old.
Well, let me tell you, I'm not a communist. That's for damn sure. I'm not a dirty commie. You're the InfoWars girl!
I'm actually non-binary, so like I use they/them pronouns.
Oh my God.
Man or man? Yes.
Fuck out of here.
Neutral language.
Fuck out of here.
No, I just want
to
know. I'm really not trying to. I'm just trying to know what you want to be called.
It's literally globalism versus nationalism.
Yes.
That's literally what it is. It's no longer left versus right. It's globalism, which is like.
One world government.
It's not even left or right.
They're going to erase all the cultures.
Globalism isn't even left or right. They just care about themselves. Yeah, they're going to erase everyone's culture. They don't want anyone
These
to be
cultures
different.
That have been just, forged over hundreds and thousands of years, destroyed.
Just absolutely.
In
gone.
3 years. No. 2-3 years. It's fucked up. Borders preserve cultures.
I don't want to just see everyone be the same. I don't want to.
I love all the cultures, okay? I want to go and experience things that were forged from generation to generation. They're trying to destroy the family, and by destroying the family, they will destroy the culture segmentally, but within a few generations. And they've already done it here because America is the first example of multiculturalism.
Yeah, look at how we turned out. It's just disgusting here now what it is with multiculturalism. Actually, I would disagree with that guy. Yes, I've been saying globalism versus nationalism for a long time, but it actually is the forces of left and right. Because yes, the cucks and libs, you know, they're all globalists now. They have united. But really, it's the left that is pushing globalism, and it's the true right that is really nationalist. I think the left has always been about global conformity. But it's just great to see that some of these young kids are picking up on that. They're seeing that leftism is all about conformity and monoculture and just the end of diversity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Borders preserve cultures.
Yeah. Exactly. And what was up with that girl, too? It's like, I mean, obviously you're a woman. You have a vagina, but it's like insulting to call her a girl. And then you're like, okay, well, then what do I call you? And then they can't even respond. They just shut down. You know, they can't even have a conversation.
Ma'am or man, yes.
And it's just, it's weird listening to him because they don't look like, you know, how I remember the preppy kids acting, but they act like that now. Like, oh my God, gender pronouns hurt my feelings. You know, I mean, that's how they talk nowadays. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, like the lowest caste, the lowest common denominator are now the upper, the cool
kid. It's true. Now she's like the cheerleader chick, right? She's
right.
Like that blonde cheerleader chick.
Not chick.
No, it's funny because
they claim to not want hierarchy, but they do have hierarchy. It's just an inverse hierarchy.
Exactly. It's a victim.
We want real hierarchy. Yeah, we want hierarchy based on virtue. And
they actually hate everything that's beautiful and natural. You know, they're just exactly. They're full of envy. They're losers and whiners. They're uptight control freaks. And they want to police everything you say. And they want to tear down people that are better than them because they can't be that thing. I mean,
exactly.
Really.
And I think that's the important thing about the red pill, because I was one of those loser kids. You know, everyone hated me. I was the lowest caste of kids for my whole life. And instead of using that, being given into that and being a victim, I'm like, I'm going to improve myself. I'm gonna better myself, and I'm gonna become everything that I've always wanted to be. And I did make that leap, and I think I've been improving ever since. So
definitely, see, that's the spirit. I mean, that's the true European. We want to strive for the stars and become the best. I mean, that's the healthiest. Anytime you see someone who does better than you or is better than you, you should use it as an opportunity to say, how can I improve? I want to be better, right? There's nothing wrong with wanting to be better and do more. That's
I know. And that's why that communist pity trap is so harmful, because if you're being praised for being a loser, and you know, you see these commies nowadays and they haven't washed. It looks like the only thing they ate today was like a beer. they're dirt. They look sickly. I mean, I've been to some of these parties now, and like literally all the girls are dressed like little boys, and yeah. That's like the genders have been completely swapped. It's insane.
Yeah, and it's interesting with a lot of these girls that talk like that, you know, oh, gender pronouns, you know, I got to use that, you know, or gender pronouns hurt my feelings. Would they even be talking like that if it wasn't for education and media programming? Because now it's like,
of course not.
It's the mainstream thing to do, to talk like that. It's like, these are not unique ideas. A lot of people are saying this now. And would they have got these ideas on their own if it wasn't for their, you know, fat, ugly feminist teacher?
No, they would not have. Not for the rigorous brainwashing. But then, we broke the cycle.
Yeah, yes, we are, damn it. And mm-hmm. also, the lady that's screaming Nazi, I see this all the time. And then you ask her, how is he a Nazi? Like, that's something that happened in Germany years ago. How is a border wall being a national socialist? Then you have to call Israel national socialist and Mexico national right. socialist, right?
It's funny because the guy was like, I'm a socialist. And then I was like, okay, a national socialist?
Yeah. Oh, no, and that's where we draw the line.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, that's how close you are, man.
No, they're basically socialists for the world, right? That's what they are. And then mm-hmm. and then the guy that calls you, you're a fascist. You know, it's just, that's another such a mainstream thing. I hear that every day, 100 times a day when I check the news. If you put on TV, you hear it all the time. They think that they're being some unique snowflake by calling you a fascist. And then when you ask them, they can't even tell you, okay, what are the social and economic principles of fascism? They can't even mm-hmm. tell you.
Well, I am pretty fashy, so.
It looks good. You wear it well. Now, I want to ask you, too, tell us about your animation background. How did you get into that?
Well, I always wanted to animate. Ever since I was, like, 5, I would, like, throw temper tantrums because I wanted to make movies and I wanted to make shit move. And I tried, like, cutting up little squares and had my mom, like, take individual pictures with the camera, but that didn't really work. But so when I was, like, 11 or 12, I got this, like, Intel Play camera, and I do, like, cutouts. Against a shoebox, like kind of like South Park style, mm-hmm. except it was vertical because I couldn't get I had to stand the camera up, and that was pretty painstaking. But when I was 14, I got a Macromedia Flash, which is like the best thing that ever happened to me. I think the first best thing that happened to me is Macromedia Flash. Second best thing is After Effects. Third best thing is taking the red pill. But
well, yeah. you're very talented in looking at your work. You get a glimpse into your wild and free and creative mind. I love it. And before we play The Ascent of Alfred, which is simply amazing, I have to ask you, were you a Ren and Stimpy fan? No, Ren and Stimpy came in the scene in 1991. I had an older brother who got me into it in Nickelodeon, you know, just a lot of kind of raunchy humor, you know,
I love
pulling teeth out and stuff.
Because yeah. Ren knows how to deal with these degenerates. He comes home and all of his shit is ruined. His opera stuff, his intellectual pursuits, they like put kitty litter all over it. It's like you know, they're the commies, and Ren, he can't take it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I
love him.
I love it when he loses it too.
Yeah. It's kind of hot. I mean, Kryplowski, I've been compared to him a lot. I think because I am kind of Polish. It seems like the Polacks are really good at making cartoons for some reason.
Yeah, as soon as I saw your work, I thought about this too, and I had fuzzy feelings because I watched probably all of Ren and Stimpy too.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's great. It's great, classic, amazing entertainment.
Now, are you a dog person too? Tell us about your character Alfred before we cue him up here.
Well, Alfred evolved over the years. At first, he was kind of... I've always done dog characters since I was, like, a little girl, because I always, like, wrote books and stuff. And I always had these dogs who had dog revolutions, and they would, like, find out that the humans were evil overlords, and they would rise up and go to doggy war with them and shit like that. And eventually, when I was, like, 13, I came up with the character Alfred. It was one of the evolved forms of the dog. And I don't know if you saw Alfred Gets Fixed, but it was about his balls. They were trying to chop off his balls, and then he, like, stabs the guy and, like, runs, and he jumps out the window, but he ends up just falling through the building. That was, like, you know, nice Alfred. And then he got his dictator personality in 2006, 2007, and he's just been evolving ever since. He has dissociative identity disorder. So he has, he's like a victim of ritual abuse, kind of like MK Ultra mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
So he developed this dictator alter to, kind of hold the memories and, preserve Alfred while regular Alfred lived in this fantasy world called the Playhouse, which is like his delusion and denial world, where he is special and he reigns king, and all his little playhouse friends like coddle him and like lick his butt and stuff. And so every now and then Alfred gets flashbacks to a horrible and horrifying traumatic reality involving a cherry popsicle. I don't know if you watched Alfred's Playhouse, mm-hmm. but he's in the world, and he holds up a Gloria Steinem book, and it says popsicle on it. And it's weird, because I made that in 2007, and I didn't know that Gloria Steinem had anything to do with, like, Henry Kissinger or anything mm-hmm. like that. I just got
CIA
a book.
CIA, too. Yeah.
Right. That's the crazy part. I just got a book from her from the library, and I was like, revolution from within. So it said popsicle on it, and it's weird, because that was the word that triggered him into the flashback of his MKUltra ritual abuse, where he gets violated by a cherry popsicle. And that's how he, so Dictator Alfred kind of keeps him hostage in the Playhouse to protect him from these horrible memories. And then every now and then he gets re-traumatized in it. At the end of Alfred's Playhouse, it's basically like he says, "This is you. This is reality. No one in reality will love that. So why don't we go back to how it was? Forget we've been sodomizing you, and you can remain in ignorant bliss. You know, 2 + 2 = 5 and all that jazz." And at the end, I don't want to tell the ending.
So, yeah, he's been on a whole amazing journey then. He's really developed and gone through a lot of stages. It's kind of like a grand mythological story here. You've created a new archetype, huh? Well, let's cue up The Ascent of Alfred. We're going to watch it, and then you're going to give us some director's commentary as we go. You'll just kind of speak over it. So let's
sweet. Yay.
Good music here. Love it.
Mm-hmm. This is Bach's Passion. One of the greatest pieces of music ever. I'm a huge classical music fan.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
That's one of the reasons I don't want white people to die out.
Oh, but Asians will just play it for you. Don't worry.
Don't worry. If you train them right and you put them in Europe, they'll just automatically know how to do it. So this is Alfred's homemade porn collection. Because, you know, Alfred's a degenerate dog. He's always been a little bit of a degenerate dog. And he has, like, action figures that he mutilates and maims and puts in ovens and stuff.
Ovens, huh?
Yeah, his little followers.
Now, did you draw a lot of this too?
Yeah, this is all 2D images and PNGs in a 3D space, which is arranged in After Effects, and I have, like, a camera tool.
Now what's going on here? What is that? Is that between the legs there?
Yeah, so he's just shitposting, you know. This is what I do every day, just plug into the computer. He has his own dictatorship in the internet.
I've had days like that.
Yeah. And all that stuff in the computer is fan art that people have done for him. Because I have a huge cult following. Do you ever feel like this?
Yes, oh yes. I wish I had a destroy the world button.
ETFO. Yeah. That was kind of like a Roman kind of imagery right there. Mm-hmm. Bathhouse. Now here he's memeing himself into the internet.
It's almost like a mushroom experience too at the same time.
Yeah, so he's in the internet. He's in his magical internet kingdom. We got Gaddafi there. R.I.P. We got Spurdo. Pope Pepe.
Sam Hyde?
Yep. That's right. All my heroes. Not so much Alistair, but you
Badger,
know.
Badger that Ben Shapiro loves.
Oh, yeah, the stereotypical Badger.
What the hell was
Ben
that?
Shapiro's actually in this. He's
oh,
coming
he is,
up.
Huh? That's right.
And here are some old posters that I did from The Rise of Alfred, that Long Live Alfred one, the Alfred Great Leader.
Are they doing the Roman salutes here?
Yes, now, they are.
What was that? Is that a popsicle or a vibrator there?
That was a vibrator. Okay. Here he is, living the dream. Don't you just wish you could do this?
Yeah.
Just arrive home to cheering crowds in heaven. That's Hillary and Obama puppets.
Alfred is Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch.
Yes, Gaddafi got what he gave Hillary what she deserves.
Yep.
Yeah, so here and now, everything's rising up. The dogs are coming together.
Oh, there he is.
There he is. I ought to send it to him. I haven't sent it to
that
him yet.
Great.
And here, oh yeah. Alfred's so sexy right here. And here's some Statue of Liberty. Thing.
It's like alt-right heaven.
Yeah. But uh-oh. Here comes ISIS. And I don't know if you see the ID there says we fuck goats.
Yes, they do. Our friend
saves the day. And there's him in his reality just going around in the graveyards, because when he's not shit posting, he goes around and murders in the streets. And this is a metaphor for reality, the West, our world decaying around us, and this is the Alfred that's ascending into the memes, into the pixel space, into glory,
being
escaping.
Set free.
Yeah, escaping the burning cult. Yeah, that's right. So as the shit world burns, Alfred flies through the memosphere looking for an ultimate, the ethnostate.
We're here, Alfred. Keep coming. We're here. Yeah, let
and
it
I guess,
burn.
Yeah. And then there's Ben Garrison. He did good. He did good, Benny G.
Whether he knows it or not, even though his name is put on everything he might not do.
Oh, well, you know. Ben is a force to be reckoned with.
And Trump.
Oh, yeah. Deus Volt, motherfuckers. Deus fucking Volt.
I love it. I loved it. It was amazing. So good. How long did it take you to do that?
Thank you so much. 10 months on and off, because I was also doing a lot of research during that time. And when I started, I didn't know tit from tat. And when I ended, here I am, full fash. 1488.
So you're very much Alfred then. You've been on your journey. So what's going to be next? If you did another animation, what would it be? And where do you go from there, right? I mean, that's like where we want to be.
I know. That's like the big, big one. Well, of course, I have to top myself every time. I think that's like, I would consider that my magnum opus right there of all my years of work. But, you know, it's just going to get better from here, kids. And this is a segment in a feature-length film. And the next one, I think I'm going to do Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet, it's going to be Alfred on a crusade to defeat these forces, the evil communist playhouse, which has enslaved him his entire life. And so it's hard for me to articulate what exactly.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I think, the power of art, you have your animations, film, we need talents of all kind right now. And it's interesting to watch, like your movie here, this is the kind of stuff that freaks leftists out because they know this is the kind of stuff that really works. So we should be, crowdfunding each other and supporting our own talent in our scene and helping pull these things together because it's all on us now. You know, we have all the pieces. Now we just need to pull it together and fight back. And I think art is a powerful way to do that. Don't you agree?
It sure as hell is. It sure as hell is. And I know the Jews and commies have done their best to infiltrate the art world and make the ugly shit genius and call shit gold, just the total inverse hierarchy once again. But I want to see a revival in classical art, historical paintings, figures, beautiful, the beautiful old Western art. You know, we must preserve our masterworks, and we need to have revival of new masterworks. And it's, we need to use the media because the media is the biggest tool to subvert us. We got to use it right back on them and make our own media because that's one of the most powerful tools. And one of my new heroes that I just discovered, Leni Riefenstahl.
Of course. Yeah, of course I know who that is. Yeah.
Yeah, Triumph of the Will, Hitler's favorite filmmaker. And I just discovered her because someone commented, they were like, are we seeing the rise of the next Leni? And I'm like, I Googled her and I'm like, holy shit, this girl is very similar to me. She likes to make movies. She's got dark features. She seems kind of like a spunky chick. And hopefully I'm going to see the rise of the next Reich in my lifetime and I'll be able to make some good movies about it.
Well, we will support you all the way. I think you're doing amazing work and I'm so glad to bring you into the family. So we all support you and love what you're doing. And it's good to see this happening. I'm glad to see a lot of young, talented people come in so quickly, and that's what it is about. It's the truth is on our side. The spirit of truth and reason and nature is on our side. The left doesn't stand a chance. That's why they have to try and silence us and censor us, because they know that we are truth to the ears. We can set a lot of these college kids free, these kids that are beaten up, that are told that they're, they're white, they're to blame, they're useless, they need to get out of the way, they need to mix themselves out. I mean, this is abusive, and we can actually break that trance, and they know it, and the power of art is one of those ways to do it, the power of media and entertainment. And so those are the areas that we really should be attacking full force right now.
Absolutely. And if I can do it, so can the other girls. I'm sure I have faith.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. I've really appreciated it. We should do it again. And actually, also on election night, we're doing a live stream marathon that's going to go from 8 p.m. Eastern until 2 a.m. or until we get until we know, you know, who's winning, basically. Who wins? Ooh. Maybe we'll know by then. So we're going to have the best of the alt-right joining, and I'd love for you to join, too.
Well, I'm going to New York. I'm going to that Gavin party, which is funny. I'm going to show up there. I'm going to meet Kumia and Shkreli and stuff and stare down Ezra Levant, and then I'm going to go to a TRS meetup. But I could, like...
Patch in on the phone. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's what we want. Patch you guys in. Say hi. Say how you're voting, you know, how your trip voting went, because you're voting, right?
Of course. What is that even a question?
I know. It's the first time I've voted in so many years. So this will be good. It'll be an experience. Right. I plan to film it, too.
Oh, great.
Maybe it's going to be the last time I vote in this country. I don't know. We'll see. Now, Give us your websites and how could people support you? Any other details you want to share with us?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at RealEmilyUkis. My Newgrounds, Emily-Ukis at Newgrounds.com. YouTube.com/AlfredAlfer, I think. And if you're interested in donating some shekels to fund the next revival of amazing fashy movies, I have a Patreon, Patreon.com/EmilyUkis. And
let's get her funded, people, so she can take a year and do some good work and put it out there, because you're not making money on this. It's a shame, you know, but so we have to support. I mean, that's kind of where it is nowadays. A lot of entertainment and making things and music is very tough to do that. So crowdfunding and kind of paying to help pay for your bills so that you can create this art. I guess that's how you do it now, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I live very minimally, so it doesn't take much I just need basically the electric bill to animate this.
Exactly. So. Very important. Okay, Emily, thanks a lot. We'll thank you so much, Lana. Again. Okay.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you. Bye.